It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. With you till 11 o'clock. Matt Bubala is in for Patty Vasquez tonight. Love Matt. Be in at 11 o'clock. Well, on Friday, the editor and publisher of Gaper's Block posted a letter. The letter told us of a tough decision, one that would have the 12-year-old local news blog go on hiatus. Andrew Huff's been the man behind Gaper's Block for years, which grew to be a healthy alternative to the traditional news shops in town. It's been named best local blog for like countless years from the Chicago Reader. And also it's heralded even as far back as 2005 as the future of online news. Mm-hmm. That was going to be it. Well, budgets are tight. Time's a premium. And 2016 will be without Gaper's Block. Andrew Huff is in studio with me now. Andrew, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Huge loss. Why are you shutting it down?
Well, a number of reasons. But the primary one is I'm taking over my dad's company, basically. We're in the process of succession and trying to do two full-time jobs, one of which will thankfully give me some financial stability for the first time in, 12 years. Needs to take precedent over one that has really has been incredibly rewarding, but not financially rewarding.
You know, you and I have been involved in online news in certain ways for the last You've been in different same conference rooms, mm-hmm. And you're doing your presentation, telling us all about Gaper's Block. But, there was a time where, you were bucking the trend where you said, Right. Okay, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to make this a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. We started in 2003 and it was a labor of love. We basically, it was a project that, my partner, Naz Hamid, who now lives in San Francisco, and a dozen other local bloggers, from the Chicago blogosphere. Back then, we actually knew, there were a few enough of us that we could meet in person and, share a beer or coffee, whatever. We put it together, and in 2006, we were making enough money, and I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars, not thousands, but it was enough that the IRS should know about it, and we incorporated, and by 2008, I was full-time on Gaper's Block, freelancing as a professional blogger for, American Express and other, corporate blogs. It was the future. And then Facebook came along as one of the things that killed it off. That took the budgets
really
away on professional blogs, started stealing away advertisers'
That's really where it changed, is when Facebook decided that they were going to up their game, and they sort of eliminated local or just blogging in general.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it eliminated it, but it really did steal away a lot of a lot of the audience. Instead of people going directly to the newspaper website or their favorite blog like Gaper's Block or even Flickr, they were going to Facebook instead and seeing their friends' photos there and seeing headlines there and maybe not clicking through to the story but just commenting there. A lot of the air out of the blogosphere, a lot of the attention away from traditional media and online media.
What I loved about Gaper's Block was that I guess it was the transparency of it. Mm-hmm. So many companies you see today, media companies, almost try to trick you into why they're writing about it. Mm-hmm. They want page views. They want, it's not even their story. The Sun-Times does this a lot where they're like, Derrick Rose, broke his ankle. And then you go there and you're like, it's not even their story. It's somebody else's.
Yeah, it's like a paragraph.
But you guys were curators. You started with the idea that we're going to tell you what we like or what we think is important in Chicago. And we're going to be upfront about it and tell you where to find it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we never thought of ourselves as an aggregator. We were curating. We weren't rewriting a story, we were pointing you to wherever it was, wherever it was from. That was a service. We sort of felt like we were the Today's News column on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, but for Chicago and media agnostic. It could be a story from the Trib or the Sun-Times, or it could be somebody's blog, or it could be a great photo, mm-hmm. or, back in the days before YouTube, it might have been a video on somebody's website.
And that was a big part of the community that you created because the idea was it was local. Uh-huh. It was to give exposure to a lot of different theater groups, musicians, mm-hmm. Independent news organizations that were doing things that needed, an eyeball. And they were getting it.
Right.
People were coming through Gaper's Block and there would be actual a referral traffic.
Yeah.
That was your name of your game and you guys were doing it so well.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter kind of also bit into that a little bit. I mean, Twitter does that concept, the same thing where they're, you know, you trust the people that you follow and they tell you what's happening different places.
And, you know, I mean, we were sort of Twitter before Twitter. The one thing that we do that's a little different is that we will include more than one link in our two or three sentence split, you know, posts. You really can't do that in a tweet. You only have 140 characters. But, you know, we fit pretty well with Twitter. It fit what we were after. You know, we developed very early on a pretty good following there. We struggled a little bit more with Facebook, partly just we weren't sure what to put on there. And I'll admit it, I sort of pushed against Facebook and allowing it, you know, playing along and letting it take some of our audience. I play a little bit more along with it now, simply because I have to. Mm-hmm. But I'd love it if I didn't have to, you know, use them for traffic or, you know, look for comments on our stories somewhere other than our own site.
Talking with Andrew Huff, he's the man behind GapersBlock.com, which is hitting a hiatus for 2016. Kind of rocked. You did classic news guy. Did it on a Friday.
Yeah, you
dropped
it
on a Friday around 4. No,
not at all.
Oh, he's learned so much about news. Andrew Huff, my guest tonight on The Download. Much more. When we come back, let's talk about just the online, just to navigate the environment, the ecosystem here in Chicago, because it's changed, but maybe not. It seems like it's kind of the same as it was 10 years ago, maybe with just different different mastheads.
There's definitely some similarities.
More with Andrew Huff when we come back. It's The Download. Stay with us. It's The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Andrew Huff's in studio with me. He is the man behind Gaper's Block, GapersBlock.com. He wrote a nice little letter, a sad letter on Friday. It's a letter from the editor talking about how he's putting Gaper's Block on hiatus for 2016. I mean, is the idea to, you know, to conjure up some business and get this back on track, or is it just a fancy way of saying that's it?
It's a little of both. You know, I'd be open to selling it or
I mean, you're not shutting it down. It's still going to stay up as an archive.
And by the way, if you want to read the letter to the editor, it's at gapersblock.com/goodbye, mm-hmm. Which sounds a little more ominous than it necessarily is. You know, on January 1, what's going to happen is there's going to be a black bar at the top of the page that, you know, explains that we're on an indefinite hiatus.
Your lies, and
basically say, you know, we're open to any possibilities, including perhaps redesigning, redeveloping the site so that it is perhaps maybe not so, heavily reliant on my work.
Well, let me ask you this, you know, as you've been at the forefront and you've been involved with a lot of the way that the ecosystem here in Chicago, the news ecosystem has played out online. If you were going to start a Gaper's Block today, January 1st is the launch, and this conversation was different about, I got this new site. What would it have to be?
Well, for one thing, it would have to be mobile friendly. That's something that we've really been struggling at. Google is, can make or break a website, and they announced earlier this year that they were going to start penalizing websites that do not have responsive designs. So it's not something that works both on the web and tablets and phones. So we've seen a little bit of a drop off already from that, despite our very strong position in Google.
Would you keep the same concept? Like, would you be a curator type site?
I think I would. I think maybe I'd do it a little differently so that it wasn't something that had to be done all day long. Maybe do it at the end of the day or in the morning so that you get sort of the links of the previous day, what you should have seen yesterday. Doing it sort of as an evening edition. But I would definitely continue to do, the stories that we've done. One of the great strengths that we've had is just that we've got all these amazing volunteer writers, many of whom have gone on to, incredible positions in the professional media, writing about local events, writing about local organizations, covering news,
sports,
doing all
food,
sorts of stuff.
All sorts of
exactly.
stuff. You know, for you, when you started in 2000, three.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a tremendous amount of competition, and I mean,
not much.
I mean, it's funny because you think about the Tribune and and the Sun Times. There were still forces in those companies who were like, "The internet is a fad.
Right.
Like, we are not going. We are going to keep it in print."
Yeah, I mean, well, both the Tribune and the Sun Times were dragged kicking and screaming into the web. Back when we started, you had to register to see anything other than a headline on the Tribune's website. It was free, but it was still a hassle. The Sun Times website sucked, to be honest, and many would say it still does. The Reader only included their columns, like Straight Dope, and their classifieds online. They didn't have any of their feature articles in there.
And what was the independent scene like? I mean, you had Gaper's Block.
Yeah, independent, there was Center Stage, there was Gaper's Block, there were a lot of other little blogs. That was pretty much it. Chicagoist started a year after us.
Chicagoist still goes strong. And what we've seen in the last 5 years has been a commitment to local.
Right.
DNA Info comes to mind as a company that said, okay, we're going to come in, we're going to invest heavily in local stories.
Right. And that investment comes from a billionaire backer.
I guess the question I have is, I mean, is that the way that gets done? I mean, are there Gaper's Block success stories that are out there waiting to happen?
You know, I think there are some out there. And I mean, really, Chicagoist is one of those examples. It's going very strongly. That's partly, at this point, I think it stands on its own, but it was helped a great deal by the fact that it was part of a network with Gothamist in New York. Being able to help sell ads by having sites across the country is a huge, huge benefit.
Well, for you, Andrew, I mean, one of the hardest things about running Gaper's Block was not only just the all day having to to curate what was out there, but you were in charge of trying to get business in the front door. So you had to get ads on Gaper's Block. How did you go about doing that? Was it knocking on doors to say, "I got this new site, you got to come for $15"? How does one advertise online a new site?
Well, I mean, we've got a rate sheet, so we'd be and there's an easy place to find how to advertise on Gaper's Block. There always has been, but my time has been was spent so much of it was spent on editorial, writing my own stuff, editing other people's stuff, organizing, sending out forwarding emails from publicists and theater companies, etc. That it was almost entirely reactive. I very rarely got an opportunity to be proactive and go out and knock on doors. Over the years, we've had some part-time salespeople, which was a huge help. And we've had some very, loyal advertisers over the years. Handmade Market was one. They've got a text ad that they run every year for almost all of their shows. Old Town School.
Well, as we talk about the lessons that have been learned from Gaper's Block in online news or online sites, and one of the things has to be community, right?
Right.
I mean, the concept that a lot of the newspapers are chasing, sometimes Tribune, even to a certain extent the Reader, although they've had it for years, but this concept of, developing a loyal core and being able to serve that loyal core, whether radio stations do this, WGN does this, but you were able to take that and put that into a site where there's meetups and there's shows and Gaper's Block presents.
Right.
You're able to take a model that was usually done by big business and apply it to your site.
Yeah. Well, and it was all done with sweat equity. I mean, I could organize a show fairly easily. I could get a little help to put on an event like the Hot Dog Cook-Off, which I came on and talked about this summer. That's something that it's really more people power versus, money. We can put the money into it after the show, after the event happens, we'll earn the money back. And I think the big folks are doing a really good job of that. The Tribune does an incredible job, supporting events, their the Printers Were Lit show, lit event. Lit Fair.
The Book Fair, but
yeah, the Book Fair, whatever.
Right.
Stuff like that, and Chicago Now, which they launched, a couple years after we got started, they do a lot of, or at least they did do a lot of in-person events, meetups around town. So it can be done, But it's a lot of time, yeah, and it's a lot of effort.
And they're also a terrible softball team.
They are a terrible softball team, but I'm that's
so the question for you, you know, as you look to a life without Gaper's Block,
yeah,
what will be missed? You know, for someone who's entering the Chicago ecosystem or wants to find online news here in Chicago, what will we miss without a Gaper's Block?
Without a Gaper's Block? Well, for one thing, you know, something we haven't talked about yet is our event calendar. We not only curated news, but we also curated events. You know, not to to bruise the egos of Metro Mix, but having everything on an event calendar, that including the, you know, dollar drink specials that happen at random bars and the DJ night that nobody cares about, right up against the, you know, once in a lifetime opera events, or
the Yo-Yo, you know, Ma show, right?
Yeah, you know, right. That does nobody any service. And
right.
So we always, you know, nothing got onto our calendar unless it was something that we would go to or we would send a friend to. And you know,
yeah,
we'd highlight events that we're getting posted on, you know, bulletin boards at coffee shops and nowhere else.
Well, I have to say, I mean, from my days, even doing Schadenfreude, doing the comedy stuff, it was like imperative to try and get in the Gaper's Block calendar.
Right.
It actually did show up. So, I mean, people would show up from what you guys did.
Right.
You know, I ask what the consumer's going to miss. Andrew, what are you going to miss?
I'm really going to miss being able to, you know, foster all these great writing talents and give them a place to pursue their dream of being a writer and doing it at a professional level. They may not have been paid, but they got into shows, they got into other events, they got they got jobs. You know, I was looking, a lot of what we you know, what I got in response from the announcement was writers who had contributed to the site over the years. And just as highlights, I mean, Chris Fire, the theater editor at Time Out Chicago, was one of our founding writers. Neela Patel from, you know, he's the editor-in-chief at The Verge. He started as a music writer for us and got his gig at Engadget on the strength of music reviews, concert reviews, and his law degree. I mean, that's just amazing,
awesome,
right?
Yeah.
Translating that into the, you know, one of the top tech journalism jobs in the country, in the world, is fantastic. And we, you know, I got to give them that. So many other writers got their start with us. And so many other writers just, you know, dropped a story that they couldn't sell anywhere else with us. And we would publish it and give them the space to work out a story that, you know, maybe wouldn't be BuzzFeed worthy, you know?
Well, Chicago was made better by Gaper's Block, and Chicago will be worse for not having it. Andrew Huff, the man behind GapersBlock.com, one of the best sites there ever was, Chicago
thanks,
media, in studio with me tonight. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.